I wrote this poem, this next poem, about 4 years ago, I think, and I have actually never read it in public. And I might be about to discover why. When I left Tucson, my wife and I moved to San Francisco, and I took a job working in a law firm 3 nights a week from 6 in the evening until 4 in the morning, proofreading legal documents. And this poem is about that experience. Document processing. Not the Chilean debt restructuring, not even the pro bono for San Quentin prisoners, and certainly none of the venture sheets, the startups in gene splicing. None of it loved us. 24 floors below the Embarcadero, impudent. The neon pagodas and coffee roasting plants, melancholy. The fog erasing bridges and bay. But it never blanked the legal docs I proofed. So, lights off, three or four of us, the night shift, slouched in attorneys' chairs, our midnight lunch break in the law firm's unadorned Politburo gray glass and formica conference room, where occasionally one of the document processors, a woman, would entertain. She said, at home, coming from some of the other apartments, there were little moans. She heard them through her kitchen window. And we all loved her voice, its connivance and submersion, a dark glint because the men and women she imagined making love were never the real tenants, but people she pulled together from other places and times, whoever had loved enough, whoever had not. The clerk from a Palo Alto bookstore, the slur of her long blonde hair across the nipples of a man she'd seen throw a painting into a dumpster. The ones in 3H, brothers who painted barracks on a military post, they masturbated for their wives. The document processor told us about it. She said, little moans, persuasive slatherings, light slaps like spanking or like slaps, altercations, short cries, and louder moans, snaps undone, and giggled cliches, and every so often the shiver of smudged instruction, of fabric, the breath of a wet command, annoyance, zippers, endearment, coaxing, ripping, wheedling. That noisy? Of course not. No. But augmented, prolonged in the privacy of my blood, my brain. And now you think I'm telling you some secret about myself. I did, after all, move from body to body, borrowing. Why be stuck staying one person, a mouthful of hopes, a handful of denials? She brought together whoever she felt most needful and polished or inept and thrilled. The work product rippled across our desks. Currency agreements, development bankruptcies. And we drifted along. We pictured her at a stove frying onions and leaning nearer the window, listening to two women she'd watched at a rugby game, the Marina Green, the asbestos litigation, the conveyance of profit margins, the deeding of cattle empires, of windmill projects. The singer at the BART station, he was loud, a heckler, at home polite, because the waitress, a Moroccan, wanted him submissive. It was always after arriving from work, she said, or as she got ready to go, but some of you might care more than on those nights she had no stories we improvised through the nearly deserted offices and corridors, a course for mini golf, knocking the ball around ficus trees and computer stations, playing carpet holes and cigarette burns as water hazards, file folders as sand traps. The building swayed in wind and light earthquakes. A trembler of 5.3, and imperceptibly the dimpled ball rolled. 6.4, and my curiosity surprised me, revolving. 3.7, I lost interest in my own inhibitions. On clear nights, Sausalito smeared the hilly black horizon with its imitation of sparks, a mercenary army's encampment, the fires of the victors and vanquished. Whoever wished could try to pick out the lights of the split level where a young broker drowned a woman he'd hired to fuck, bound and gagged in a bathtub, his wife and children off visiting. Now you think I'm telling you innocence flares only as its potential for destruction and self-indictment, as if there were too many games. But there aren't enough. Their purpose is always to reflect, to mirror the darker leathers, the worn and unworn, the mouth marks that stain the skin for a day or two, to mimic the speechless plural of glances, swellings, a drunken, gentle attendance, the ungentle. You think I'm telling you something naive or wrong, but I don't exist except as an absolute distrust of words, a dark trinket you can wear and finger while you decide what you most want, the care or the taunts, whichever you think you're getting, the strapado or the luxuries, whatever is unexpected, the windows raised and wanton and wanting. You know the ones.